B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another week in Nerd Radio. My name is Chuck Bean, joining you from my couch, but I am wearing pants this week for another week of Nerd Radio. My co-host Al Beck and James, freshly home from doing the Dave and Chuck the Freak show and getting relaxed, getting ready. I know James is getting ready to play a little Call of Duty because we record this on Wednesdays.
Wowabunga Wednesdays.
But before we get there, we're going to record this episode, which goes out on Friday. So enough time travel for you there. Follow us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. And we're also in Boston. Where are we, Al?
Rock929rocks.com, in addition to WRAF.com in Detroit.
And at some point when we can all be in the same room together, we'll be back on the Checkpoint XP Twitch stream.
You can find that at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
All right, guys, I got a bunch of stuff to get to. Some of it very personal, some of it not, but I want to start
I'm going to stop you right there, Chuck. You're now sharing your screen with us, and you say you got some personal stuff for us. Have you checked all your tabs? What are we about to see here?
He's made us some personal porn, Al. He's got personal porn
coming our way. Oh, my God, it's Chuck and Amy!
It's to promote their OnlyFans website.
It's a how-to mustache ride website.
Right.
You got the quarantine stash.
Put it to work.
I like this feature, though, that we can see what's on your screen right now. We should somehow keep this going when we move back into the Checkpoint studio.
Yeah, I'm sure we can figure something out. I'll
hit sign into Discord.
Yeah, exactly. I like it.
I'll hit up Weirdbeard and ask him, like, how can we share screen so I can, you know, when I'm talking about something, I don't have to pull my laptop up and show you guys. I can just be like, look at the screen.
Yeah, well, I think they already have Discord installed on all the computers, so you could probably do it the same way here. We just got to sign into our accounts on Discord.
Well, just do
the share screen. That would be my guess.
I've been listening to the Conan O'Brien podcast, and it's really funny how all of us across the board that do entertainment have had to learn new skills like Zoom and Discord. And
I still haven't learned Discord. Well,
it takes a while to figure it out, Al. It was a rough go for me.
Okay.
Right. Well,
I didn't know that I was holding us up. I mean, like, I get home after everyone, you know, because I live the furthest way or whatever. But, like, I was in the chat. I beat James to the chat. So, like, I'm sitting there. And then, like, I'm just waiting for the video thing to start. And then Chuck's like, you got to join the chat. I thought I did. Damn it. Right. And then I couldn't figure out how to turn the cameras on. I couldn't see anybody. It was a mess. It was seven an old man
moment. When are you, boomer?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's the general chat, but then there's the like actual audio chat, and you got to join that too. So
I had no idea.
I'll change that channel to like, hey Al, click on me.
Yes, like I don't even know what our channel means. Like it's a weird word. I don't know what it means. It frightens me because it's unknown to me.
I have a feeling this is some sort of an anime character. That would be my first guess.
It's not anime, but it is Japanese.
Okay.
So yeah, I named it after the Japanese phrase for lightning flash, after a character in the Usagi Yojimbo comic book, the rabbit samurai that you sometimes saw with the Ninja Turtles. So there you go.
God, I'm more confused now than before.
I'm sure everyone at home was real interested in that stuff.
I had no idea
it had a rabbit samurai from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles tie-in. That was cool.
I don't know.
But I did want to start the interview by thanking you, Al, and James, for my late birthday gift that I got last week.
Oh,
I think it was last Thursday. I woke up and I saw I had a text from James saying to look for a box with pizza on it.
Box covered in pizza.
Yeah. So I love
Hopefully pizza. He didn't think it was a snack. You're like, oh man, there's some snacks here for me.
Right.
It was. He had to keep me from eating and I knew what it was. I had to not eat the wrapping paper. I love pizza. Problem.
So I got there and Meltdown's on the air and I was like, oh, there's the box, and I'm looking and like the dimensions of it, it's not thick enough to be an Xbox One, but it's like large enough. And I'm like, James did not buy me an Xbox One. I don't care what kind of deal he got. There's no way he was like, here, I'm sick of trying to deal with the chat function. Like, here, just play Rome Royale with me on the Xbox One. There's no way that happened.
Dude, if I got you an Xbox One, it fell off of a truck.
Yeah.
Or it's like mad discount at like one of those resale shops, like we're out of quarantine discount, come get everything.
But no, it was the Nintendo Labo robot set that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that was on sale over at Best Buy. And you can actually go over to my Twitch stream over the weekend. I made sure to Twitch broadcast me putting it together. It took me about 2 days, but it's kind of awesome.
Is it?
Cool.
Once it I saw is. It, I was like, I flipped it over on the back and I sent Al a text. I'm like, this actually looks pretty sweet.
Because first of all, it takes you a couple hours to put all the cardboard together to make this little backpack that's got strings on it for the arms and the legs. And the strings connect to this pulley system that is in the backpack that makes the pulleys go up and down. And the way it works is that the two sides of your Switch, the little controllers that come off.
Yeah.
One of them, the right side, has a little infrared reader on the bottom of it. So you put that into the backpack. And you put these kind of shiny stickers on the pistons, and it reads those things going up and down, and therefore makes the robot walk or throw its arms and stuff.
That's pretty cool. That sounds way more advanced than what I thought it was.
Yeah,
I'm like, it's like a cardboard robot suit. I hope he liked it. And then I flipped it over on the back. I'm like, oh, this looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's one of those things where while I'm putting it together, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how you're going to get these two Switch controllers to make this robot walk. But you've got the right one with the infrared reader, and then the left one goes in a little headset that you put on. And when you move your head, you tilt it to the left or the right, it turns the robot because it's got the little gyroscope in it, like a Wii controller.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really neat. And that's just just scratching the surface, because the first thing you do is like tromp through a town like Godzilla.
You smash people.
Smash cards.
And you have this on your VOD on your Twitch channel?
Yep.
I gotta watch that for sure. Okay.
It's at the back end of the part two, but there's a whole bunch of levels to fight other robots. There's apparently a garage feature, and I don't know what that's all about, but I can't wait to check that out.
Dude, this is like that Hugh Jackman movie with the fighting robot.
It is. Yeah, it's I can't remember what that movie was called. Real Steel.
Real Steel. I thought Steel was in it, but I'm like, I don't know what other word goes with it.
Yeah. So thank you both very much. It's very cool. And it's the kind of thing that now I'm real interested in what the other Labo sets are like. Unfortunately, they are not on sale anymore. Well, they're on sale, but they're like 40 or 50 bucks instead of 20. So I'm sure when those go down to 20 again, I'm going to be like, I can spend $20 on this. This is totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. Well, glad you liked it, man. Happy birthday. Yeah, happy
Absolutely. Birthday. It's a lot of fun. And while we're on the subject of video games, Al, I know you're playing the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah.
I discovered something that they don't tell you, that I'm curious if you already knew it or if this is news to you as well. So
I haven't played it much since the beginning, so I probably have not discovered this.
Okay, so when you're not in battle, you can use items and spells to raise the hit points of your characters back to full again. But when you do that, you have to, like, you use a potion, and then you have to go back through the menu to do it again. So you have to, like, click X, go to item, go to potion, go to the character, and then do it again over and over and over again. Except you don't. When you go to the spell or the item, if you hold L1, it calls it multi-use, and you can just keep clicking on the character and using the potion and spell until they're at full.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I didn't know that. I read it because I'm a nerd that likes to play with a walkthrough. So I found one, and they talked about that, and I'm like, oh my God, that saves so much time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have assumed that you could have used the potion, while outside of battle, because you could always do that. But I did not know about the multi-use thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be the nerdiest conversation I've ever eavesdropped on. I always assumed you'd be able to use the potions because you could always use the potion. I know this is Nerd Radio, but that should be the pull little segment of the show that they pull right there.
Right. That'll get the nerds for sure.
Where can I use potion?
What potion do you recommend for poison?
I guess while we're on the topic of video games, that's just where we'll start this week. So I realized the other day when I was playing Call of Duty with you, James, there was a pack that if you were a PlayStation Plus member that gave you an extra skin or something like that. I'm like, all right, I want that. And then I clicked on it, and apparently I let my PlayStation Plus lapse.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't realize it.
How? So like, isn't it, doesn't it just automatically renew?
Typically it does, but the credit card that it's attached to automatically renew is no longer in service.
Shut down.
Right.
Oh boy.
So it actually worked out for me because those PlayStation Plus 1 year membership cards are always on sale someplace.
Yeah.
And I found for this week at least, I believe by the time this releases, it's still there. If you're looking for a PlayStation Plus membership, those things usually run you about $60. Oh. You can get one right now on cdkeys.com for $35.
Well, that sounds super shady. cdkeys.com. It sounds like a place to go for bootleg software.
Yeah.
It kind of does.
Why are you writing that address down, James?
Because I'm going to go save me $25 on the PlayStation Plus network.
Right, exactly.
He's shaming them as he feverishly writes down a web address.
I'll risk the virus.
Yeah, copy paste.
They've been around for a couple of years, and they do strictly digital codes and stuff. So they started with Steam codes and stuff like that. And now that PlayStation and Xbox and Nintendo all use digital codes for software, they bother to sell that stuff too.
That makes sense.
So that was a blessing in disguise.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. No, it's always good when you find those deals when you know stuff's about to run out. Like every time my Xbox Live would run out, and I'm like, oh, we're getting close, man. Nobody's got it on sale. No one's got it on sale. Oh, I'm gonna have to buy it. And then it would expire. And then luckily I'd be preoccupied with life. 2 months would go by, then I'd find one on sale and I'd renew.
Hmm. Yeah, it's always,
a very interesting story.
Now I've got this.
It's always great.
The jingling keys in front of my face, watching Chuck scroll through the whatever he's going to talk about next. So while you're talking, I'm over here staring at the computer screen.
You're looking at the preview.
Easily distracted. Yeah, yeah. It's exactly. Wait a minute. I'm not supposed to watch previews. That's part of my policy. What are you doing to me?
Oh, we'll get to that. I got a story about that.
Oh, no. You're not going to play a trailer for me, are you?
No, I'm not. Oh, good. No, not at all. But I do have a preview for a game that's coming out next Thursday. Jade actually posted about this on WRAF.com. Jay and Silent Bob's Mall Brawl.
Yeah, I know all about this one.
I was going to say, have you seen this video? Because it's essentially River City Ransom, but you get to play as Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, I got to go into my emails and see, because I've supported the Jay and Silent Bob Sour Blunt Punch game like 2 or 3 years ago through Kickstarter. So I think I actually have access to be able to play that game, but I can only play it on PC. Because I think being a part of the first wave or whatever level I donated, I think granted me access to it.
Right. Well, I got the video playing in the screen right now, and you can see it looks like it's taken right from the Nintendo Entertainment System.
It does.
Just Jay and Silent Bob running around in the mall for Mallrats and punching and kicking everybody inside.
That's cool. So this thing is on the way. When does this come out?
This is coming to the Nintendo Switch next Thursday. I can't tell you how many games that I've gotten on the PC, and then they become one of the PlayStation Plus games or the Xbox Gold games, and I end up playing them on my system instead of my PC.
I'm just not much of a PC gamer aside from that Empire Earth, which that's why I haven't been playing a whole lot of Final Fantasy. Is just god damn it, making up for years Empire of lost Earth. Time with Empire Earth.
Yeah, it's funny because it's especially nowadays with the PC, like all the controllers are USB. You can hook them into your PC so they can absolutely make games just as accessible.
Yeah,
there's been a couple of times where I've hooked the HDMI cable from my laptop up to my TV, but it's also one of those things where it's like, it's too much work.
Yeah, that extra steps really sucks.
right.
Plug it in.
I got to put a cord in the hole. That's like almost as much work as sex.
Yeah, it's about the same process.
All right, well, let's take a short break and we'll come back. It's Free Comic Book Week. We talked about it a little bit last week. I'll give you a little more info on that coming up and some other comic book news, as well as what was the biggest flop at the theater in 2019.
Uh-oh.
That's all next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hi, it's Brian Baumgartner. I played Kevin in The Office, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to more Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRIF.com and Boston at rock929.com. I got that right.
No,
right?
You didn't.
Damn it.
Not even close. You missed an entire word.
Yeah, you missed a full word. Rock929 rocks.com.
Thought I had it.
Yeah.
And I'm joined.
You're just
by
mad because I also said WRIF.com last time as well. So you're trying to steal my thunder.
I'm joined by Al Beck and James for another week in Nerd Radio. And you can find us all over your social media and on YouTube at Nerd Radio 101. Guys, we talked last week about it being Free Comic Book Week and what that means. And essentially, what that means is the local publisher SourcePoint Press, along with Deepwater Games and N3, which I don't know what N3 is. They're all this week giving away free copies of some of their comic books that you can get a digital copy, or you can order a bunch of them and have them shipped to your home, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah,
that is sweet. You don't have to. Did you say you don't have to? You have to pay for shipping too?
I think you do have to pay for shipping, but it says in here that shipping is anywhere from $5 to $10, depending on how many books.
You say it probably won't be that much. Yeah, that is really cool.
Right. They've got some of their trade paperbacks and some of their first issues of stuff like Nora by Casey Pierce and Hope by Dirk Manning are in here. And you can it's cool, you know, especially considering this weekend would have been Free Comic Book Day.
Sure. Yeah. First weekend in May.
Yeah.
For us poor comic book nerds. This was on WRIF.com as well. Speaking of this weekend, you know, May the 4th is next week. It's a big Star Wars day.
Mm-hmm.
May the 4th
be with you.
I saw that Disney Plus is actually moving forward the Rise of Skywalker release to May the 4th. So that will be on Disney Plus as of Monday. It was supposed to be like 2 months out. And they're like, you know what? Everyone's stuck at home. We can't celebrate Free Comic Book Day like we usually do, or May the 4th. So we'll just put it on Disney Plus for you.
Yeah, they moved up the entire release schedule, didn't they? Because even the Blu-ray and digital release like that you pay for was supposed to be like later than it came out. So this moved everything up with that.
Yeah, I thought it came out kind of early when I went out and bought it. And I was like, it's already out.
Yeah, I think they, I don't know, maybe they're trying to like when they've run the numbers on the streaming services, Netflix is still king of the streaming services right now. And I feel like Netflix was like on a downward trajectory and this whole quarantine thing, like kind of boosted it up a little bit. So maybe Disney's just doing these little things to try and fight back.
Yeah. It's all about Tiger King.
Yeah. This is ridiculous.
The mouse wants Tiger to be king.
And the Big Show Show. That is why we're all watching Netflix for the Big Show Show, which should really be the Big Show Show.
The Big Show Show.
Is that the
one on Netflix?
You have to watch a single episode.
Yeah, I remember you saying something about that, and I thought it was a cool idea. He always seemed like an entertaining guy, but I will be honest, I couldn't be less interested in that.
Yeah, no, it's very cookie cutter sitcom, but at the same time, in these particular days where you're just looking for a comfort food as far as watching TV, it was very cool. It was very fun.
I think Hulu gets the most of my time. I'm sorry, what was that, James?
I was just saying, it's just something that's mindless and humorous.
Yeah.
This is something I saw yesterday that I thought was kind of fascinating. AMC Theaters is saying that they will no longer play Universal films after some comments were made by NBC Universal's CEO that the release of Trolls World Tour, which they completely bypassed the theatrical release because all the theaters were closed and made it digital exclusive. Apparently, they did a bunch of money on that, which I don't know anybody that paid money to rent Trolls World Tour.
I think the number we heard this morning was it did $100 million.
On one hand, it's fascinating that as entertainers, we're all learning new programs and new ways to, you know, entertain the people. But it's also fascinating that AMC Theaters, even coming out of this, is like, we're not going to play any Universal films.
Which I think is such a stupid move from them. First of all, obviously they want to like make money in their theaters. They want to show the movies, but they don't have that option. You know what I mean? It's not Universal's fault everything got locked down. That came down from governments. You know what I mean? So, like, AMC didn't have a choice in shutting down. Universal didn't have a choice in shutting down. They still want to put their movie out there, so there's that. Also, the fact that didn't we have a story like a couple weeks ago, AMC may have to close their doors for good after all this, and they're looking at shutting out a property. Like if you survive this, you're going to want to play everything that you think might bring people in. Like, why are you going to shut out Universal? Like, what are you doing? I think they're trying to go out of business.
It's like they're trying to make a power move in the negotiations, but they don't have the power.
Yeah, with a squirt gun.
You know, they're it's trying like, to make. Man, I have the power.
They're making threats. You know? Making threats with a squirt gun.
Whatever.
Hey, yeah. we're going out of business, but on our way out the door, fuck Universal.
Yeah.
It would be the equivalent of with everything that's happened with comic books, with, you know, if Marvel or DC had decided to go digital with comic book stores saying, well, then I'm just not going to carry DC comics from here on out. Okay, well, I'll be very interested in your clearance sale in 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like... It's like trying to flip somebody off, but it's like an 8-year-old finger. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, you get the message, but it's also kind of cute.
Like, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like that viral image of the little kid giving the finger, maybe he's giving an album cover or something. Maybe it's AC/DC related.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're like, oh, that's you're trying to be mad. All right, that's cool.
He's saying, I'll go after yourself. But what a little cutie pie.
Tossle their hair. Oh, yeah, a little cutie pie. Yes. It's fine.
Here's something that actually me and James found out about a couple of months ago at Astronomicon, which is pretty cool. The creators of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are getting together for the first time in 25 years. Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird are coming together for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles of The Last Ronin, a script that Kevin Eastman had told me and James at Astronomicon that he has been sitting on for years about, like, it's essentially Batman The Dark Knight Returns for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And that's going to be coming out this summer once the comic book stores are open again, courtesy of IDW. Neither one of them are doing the art, unfortunately. They're getting one of the guys that currently does the art on one of the Turtles books, Andy Kuhn. But it's going to be a 5-issue series. Each of the issues are going to be double size. And it's going to be neat to see what the non-teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the old man Ninja Turtles, look like.
James, is that a thing you're going to want to try and pick up and collect?
Yeah, I would definitely take a look at it for sure. Just for collecting issues, for collecting purposes, but also to actually read the story and see what he's been sitting on for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like is that his golden goose, or, you know?
Yeah, because I know you kind of pick and choose. You don't really buy a lot of comics, and it's very you pick and choose which ones you get. So I was wondering, you know, you're a big Turtles guy, so I thought maybe you'd want to pick this one up.
Yes, it definitely has my attention, and yeah, I am weird with comics. I just like certain things have to like intrigue me, like Ghostbusters and the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
and for some reason, it all involves the Ninja Turtles because I have Ninja Turtles and Batman that Chuck's gotten for me.
Yeah,
yeah, and now we're talking another Ninja Turtles, but He-Man and the Thundercats. You know, I have a few of those issues, but I haven't found the whole set.
Hmm.
I was going to ask you, I got you that first run of the Ninja Turtles book, didn't I? The Turtles and Batman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? You got a hot tip? Are those worth some cash?
I don't know, but I was going through some of my comics and found that I had the first 6 issues of it. And I was like, I thought I gave these to James. So I must have gotten you your own copy.
Yeah. I have all, I think I might even have them right here somewhere. Well, never mind. I'm not going to try to grab them. But yeah, right. I have them all.
Somebody uncovered on Twitter photos of Method Man from the Wu-Tang Clan cosplaying as Bishop from the X-Men. I don't know if you guys see this.
Really?
Oh, that's cool.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a serious cosplay too. It's not like he's just wearing something that looks kind of like Bishop. Like, he's got the costume, he's got a foam machine gun for it. He did the M on over his left eye. His facial hair is perfect.
That looks good.
Yeah.
With the distance with it.
It's always cool when you find out that, you know, some celebrity or something like that is a huge nerd, especially a cosplay nerd. The one female wrestler, Zelina Vega, that's in the WWE right now. She's a huge cosplay nerd.
I've seen a lot of her Mortal Kombat, like the ladies of Mortal Kombat cosplays, but I haven't seen many others. I think she posted a few up around Halloween time last year.
Yeah, I noticed she's got one of her, and I think it's Andrade Cien Almas as Team Rocket. All right, I told you guys last season about the What We Do in the Shadows show on FX, and that just started a second season. I don't think I've talked to you guys about the new season, have I?
No.
It is just as good as season one. I remember telling you guys that season one, every episode has some kind of crazy laugh out loud moments. And season two is just as good and has started off with some really, really strong guest stars. Apparently, a lot of people in the comedy community really enjoyed the show as well and asked to be part of the show. The very first episode had Haley Joel Osment
from
the from what was that Bruce Willis movie? The Sixth Sense?
The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. He played.
He's also the guy who told Walker that he had AIDS. Walker told him. Walker had to tell him.
That's true.
As a child that he had AIDS. He broke the news. Oh,
yep. He's also Forrest Jr. Forrest Gump Jr. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Holy moly! No, and I knew he'd been in the latest
episode. He's Forrest Gump's bastard child.
On Amazon, but he was in the very first episode and ends up getting turned into a zombie.
Okay.
Which was absolutely hilarious. Benedict Wong from the Doctor Strange movies played the necromancer in the second episode that turns him into a zombie. Mm-hmm. And then in the most recent episode, Craig Robinson, who you probably remember from The Office.
Yeah. Daryl from The Office.
Yeah. It was Daryl from The Office. He's the leader of a secret clan of vampire hunters.
Cool. That guy's really funny. I like him.
No, it's really fun. And the main thrust of this season is you found out at the end of last season that the one vampire's familiar, Guillermo, is actually descended from Van Helsing.
Okay.
And while Guillermo absolutely loves vampires and has no, like, he wants to become a vampire, every time an opportunity to kill a vampire comes up, he accidentally kills one.
Okay.
So it's like fate is bringing, and that was the fun part about the third episode, is he met Craig Robinson and this clan of vampire hunters because he was looking for virgins to bring back to the house so that his vampire friends could, you know, could feed.
Nice.
And ended up stumbling into a nest of vampire hunters. It is hilariously fun.
Oh no, we lost James.
Oh no. And he's back.
I don't know what happened.
Bad connection. Yeah. And he was checking his phone and then he was out.
Yeah, well.
He is not interested in what we do in the shadows.
I guess not. He just bailed completely. Just hung up on us. You're boring me. Gone. Ninja smoke.
Yeah, he's like, this isn't something.
Ah, there he is.
I have no idea what the fuck is going on, guys. What's the last internet or something? Did you guys get my text?
My phone is on silent. Oh, hey, there it is.
You guys can still see me that whole time?
You were like frozen. It was like a frozen picture. Like, I thought you were just sitting there kind of listening to Chuck describe the show. And no. But you were evidently frozen, and then we lost you completely, and then you pop back.
Yeah, this show I need to sit down and check out. Like,
it is funny. And Mark Hamill is supposed to be in season two at some point as well.
What's it called again, Chuck?
What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows. It's on Hulu, the first season, and I think the episodes actually drop the day after they're on TV. It's on Wednesday nights on FX. So, absolutely worth it. Probably my favorite show on TV right now. It reminds me of when like Community was on TV.
Nice. I just went and added it to my Hulu list.
Yeah, it's like I have to catch it every week when it's on the TV. So we're gonna take a short break here. I got a couple more things to get to. We've got the biggest flop of 2019 in the theaters. Also, a article I found on Kotaku about how to protect yourself from unwanted spoilers. I'm sure, Al, you're gonna be very interested in this.
Wonderful.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Nerd Radio.
He's like a person and a horse.
Welcome back to more Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRIF.com, and wherever you get your podcasts as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. My name is Chuck Bean, joined, as typical, by James and Al Beck here for another week in Nerd Radio and having a fun time here. James, you're getting ready to actually stream with one of the guys from Twisted, right?
Hopefully. We're having some internet issues, so I have to check in and find out. But yeah, we're trying to get Monoxide on the Wild Bunga Wednesdays one of these weeks. It doesn't happen this week. Hopefully it'll happen next week. But yeah, he's squatting up. They put out a new album last week, Mad Season. They refinished it up while they were in quarantine, put it out, and they're talking to everybody about it.
That's super cool. Yeah, and following your Twitch stream, I say this even when I'm not a part of it, following your Twitch stream is absolutely hilarious because you got some serious nerd rage.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I do get pretty upset when I lose. Or as I refer to them as unjust kills.
Sure. Not only do you get upset when you lose, you're kind of a sore winner too. I love it when I'm watching you play Realm Royale and you notice that whoever just you just killed is actually following you.
Oh yeah, I love it when they watch me put on a little one man tap dance extravaganza called F you. Give them a show to watch.
Yeah, no, it's fun stuff.
Well, thank you.
All right, earlier this week, the Avengers Endgame directors, the Russo brothers, mm-hmm. this actually happened Monday night. They were live tweeting, going through and watching Avengers. They had some fun video that was some behind the scenes stuff, like the final days of, you know, Tony Stark's Robert Downey Jr.'s last scene and Chris Evans' last scene and stuff like that. But they had some fun stuff in there too, like what they would have called Endgame and Infinity War if they'd have been Friends episodes.
Okay.
The one that I like is they would have called the Endgame, they would have just called it Avengers Friend Game, which is kind of a brilliant pun. But there was also they had some early like screen testing shots, and one of them showed Doctor Strange wearing the Iron Man armor.
Oh, that's where that came from.
Yeah, and Tony Stark wearing the cloak, which was real interesting. They didn't give any real details on how the story would have got us to that point, but it was like, oh, that would have been neat.
I almost wonder if maybe some of that was just them having fun with their Photoshop software or whatever they use. Like, hey, what happens if we switch outfits on these guys?
Right. Yeah, no, that would be, I would not be surprised if that was what was going on there. Also, article I found over on CBR.com that I believe is from Deadline that listed the top box office flops of 2019, the movies that lost the most money in 2019. Right. Do you guys have any guesses possibly of what movies you think lost the most money?
I don't even remember a week ago, let alone what came out a year ago.
No, I'm trying to think what big name movies did come out.
Especially since 2020 has already been 4 years long.
Right.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'll tell you this. The biggest box office loss is a movie that I went and saw last year and was very disappointed in.
X-Men Phoenix.
That should give you a huge clue.
Yep.
According to Deadline, X-Men Dark Phoenix lost $122.6 million.
Ooh.
Or no, I'm sorry. It lost $133 million.
Wow, that's a big chunk of change to lose.
Yeah, the next closest is the one that lost $122.6 million, and that was the Terminator movie, Dark Fate.
I forgot about that.
Me too.
Which is exactly the problem.
Sarah Connor says, I'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I didn't think that movie did all that bad, but apparently I was wrong.
I told you they blew it by putting that big line in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They blew it. That was the big gotcha moment of the movie, I bet.
And I was going to say, back to Dark Phoenix for just a second. Your review of that was so poor that every time I'm looking for something to watch, like, it comes up as an option somewhere, whether it's on, you know, Hulu, or the fact that I have the Blu-ray and I just go, I don't know. And then I move on to something else. I still haven't watched it.
Yeah, it's on the HBO streaming app right now.
Yeah, and that's what it is.
At one point at like 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep, I just put it on and kind of dozed through the whole movie. And there are moments in it that I'm like, that's my X-Men. But on the whole, it's not great. Mm. The third most biggest bomb last year was Cats, losing $113.6 million.
They should have put out the Butthole Edition. Probably would have went straight to the top of the box office.
Yeah. Apparently the furries were not, there were not enough furries to watch Cats. The next one on the list is Gemini Man. That's the movie with Will Smith where he meets his younger self.
Oh, that was really bad. I did see that one.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's the CGI of young Will Smith is so bad.
It's funny how we cannot forgive, like, in this day and age, because we've seen such good stuff CGI wise. We cannot forgive bad CGI.
Well, when it looks like Will Smith's hunting down like a Clone Wars cartoon CGI version of himself, you're like, what the heck's going on? Something's not right here.
Right. And then the fifth movie on that list is Missing Link, which was one of those animated movies, which
Channing Tatum was in that one, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God. And Phil, I knew I should have went to go see it.
Yes.
I believe he plays a Sasquatch. Oh man. I'm sorry, Channing.
No.
Well, the good news is you can still see all of these bombs on your video on demand services. So
it's not going to get them off the list.
No, it certainly isn't. Absolutely not.
Whatever website you found this on, he's on a list now. It's partially my fault.
All right. Well, I got two more stories to talk to you guys about, and they're kind of very fashioned towards each of you. This first one is definitely an Albeck story. Something I found on Kotaku the other day. It's called How to Protect Yourself from Unwanted Spoilers. They give you kind of a list, of them are very, very common stuff. It's like, oh yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. But there's one particular thing on there that I'm like, I didn't know that existed. So I'm curious if you're already doing some of these things.
Probably not, but continue.
The first thing it says is to mute your tweets. In Twitter, you can make a bunch of muted words. So let's say that you didn't want the new X-Men movie spoiled. You could, you know, mute the word X-Men.
Okay. I'm not doing that.
You can do the same thing with a Chrome extension in Facebook. You can mute certain words so that if people are talking about a specific thing, it will not show up in your Facebook feed.
Okay.
They say to turn off autoplay on all videos, so you're not scrolling through your Facebook or a web page. And
typically
suddenly
have that off anyway, just because I hate when things autoplay like that, because it's not like the sound is on either. So you're scrolling and you do see a video that you want to watch, and then you open it, and instead of starting from the beginning, you're already halfway through the thing, and now it has sound. So you got to stop it and rewind it. I don't have time for that.
Right. Well, you don't have any time. You're a busy man. You don't have time for that.
He has many things to neglect. He doesn't have any time.
Yeah, so many things to neglect. Thank you, James. My PR man, James.
The last thing they put up, though, that I didn't realize was a thing is a Chrome extension called Unspoiler, which essentially does the exact same thing. Like, for instance, The Last of Us, the sequel to The Last of Us is coming out, and a big spoiler dropped last week. And you can very easily, in this thing, put in Last of Us, and it'll put giant red warnings over any links that have a spoiler in them.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I like that. That's actually something I might look into doing.
Yeah.
It's a Chrome extension called Unspoiler. And this I found just looking around the internet, something that I have to imagine James has already checked out. Are you familiar with the Unko Museum? UNKO.
No. It sounds dirty,
It is a pop-up museum in Yokohama, Japan, dedicated to all things poop.
What? I've been to Yokohama, Japan.
It is the Unko Museum is literally called the Poo Museum, and it has a whole bunch of stuff, different art forms or different paintings and stuff like that of poop. Thankfully, when I saw that there was a poop museum, the first thing I thought was, oh, no, that must smell terrible.
Oh, man, that would be a stinky one.
You know, if it's like historical museum, I'm like, I don't think anybody wants to go to the historical poop museum. This is more artistically done. And right now they are offering virtual tours.
There you go, James. Okay, you can do it right from your home.
I can get my poo fix.
Yeah. So I'll send you the link. It says the area offers the guests the opportunity to play the game.
Ooh.
I don't know what that entails at all.
This is a shutter timing game. So you must have to like try to take a picture with the poop floating around on the screen at a certain spot.
I guess.
That would be just my guess as a fecal fanatic.
Oh, no. I don't want to be a fecal fanatic.
Yeah, maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know, there's two sides to every poo story, you know? There's the pooper and the poop on.
God. Do you have any, you don't have a glass coffee table, do you, James?
Well.
Oh, no! Oh, no!
How's that desk look?
Oh, no! Clean, I hope.
So far, yeah.
That was one of my favorite puns in the article that I found about this, is that when one sphincter closes, another one opens. Like, come on. I had no idea there was a poop museum. B, I knew that I had to tell James about it. And C, I feel like you must have some art somewhere in the poop museum.
Can I apply to have a piece of artwork posted?
I think you really need to look into it, because if you can, I feel like this is your time. This is the museum your art would be.
Finally leave my mark, like a skid mark on the world.
Leaving a skid mark on humanity.
Yeah. A skid mark on the category of humanities.
Well, that's all I got for you guys this week. I hope you were entertained at home listening to us talk about stuff like the Pooh Museum and how to avoid spoilers. And I hope I entertained both of you as well. I hope it was worth you guys rushing home from work and getting on Discord for this.
I didn't rush.
Al just casually drove home.
I did.
Right.
Sunday morning drive.
Arrived home on horseback.
What's the name of your stallion, Al?
I don't know, Gigantor.
Oh, I like it.
That's a great. Is he a Clydesdale? Holy shit!
He's called Gigantor because he's hung like a horse.
It's a mini horse. It's an ironic name.
Yeah, it's an ironic name. It's a midget pony.
I'm just picturing Al on a mini horse now.
So am I.
All right. Well, we'll join you guys again next week for another episode of Nerd Radio. Make sure you're following us on all our social media, on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, at Nerd Radio 101. Make sure you download episodes of the podcast and giving us a rating and reviewing and letting us know what you think about the show. If you see something you want to hear us talk about on the show. And also, I keep forgetting to do this. This has been a month going, but Shawnee Constant, who I do the One Fall Show and Talk Horror to Me, he has created an unofficial fan page over on Facebook. You can look it up as the Nerd Radio unofficial fan page.
Cool.
For just sharing memes and having a good time. He shared a whole bunch of Star Wars and Star Trek things on there. I think, Al, you're joined it. If you haven't, then I will put you in there.
Okay.
So you can see him. But yeah, so make sure you check that out. I feel like a jerk because he made it a month ago and I keep forgetting to mention it.
It must be getting a lot of use then. Well, thank you, Shani.
Thanks, man.
All right, we're out of here. Follow James on all his Twitch streaming at twitch.tv/whoTheFIsJC. And if you want to see Nintendo Labo, you want to see my giant, my cardboard robot, check out my Twitch at twitch.tv/CHZUCK.
You know, I sign up for Twitch as well, but don't bother following me because I won't be doing anything on it.
You really need to do something. Like, we talked about you just crying on Twitch. You really need to do like the most boring thing possible. You should live stream reading a book.
You know what I should do is put it on the web, the live stream, and just put it on my sailboat painting fabric thing in the background of my living room and just leave it there.
I mean, you know what would happen? You'd probably do that and like become bigger on Twitch than what Chuck and I are.
Yep. I know, and it would frustrate the hell out of you.
I love the boat channel. It's just a beautiful painting. You just watch it and admire it. The beauty of the artwork and the artist really captured a moment in time.
Tune in next week. It's my picture of John Wayne is next.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
I have spoken.
All right, fellas. I think that's the show.
All right. I think
that's a good place to stop.
I think it is, too. I feel like for a title, it's got to be something about the skid mark of humanity. One of those quotes in there.
Yeah, right. We really peaked with the poop museum.
We really did.
Al Beck understands technology.
I do not. I don't see. I don't see you guys. Ah, there it is. Show members.
There you go.
That sounds like an invite to show you my penis, Al, and I will not do that.
Yeah. I've fooled you guys into using Discord because it's actually for gay porn.
Oh no!
It's a secret meat gazing app.
Show members.
Ooh, that's a nice one. Look at that member. Ooh.
Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, we usually have like a whole X-rated N tag segment, like a too hot for Nerd Radio N tag.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Now we get to talk about nerds. So that should be the intro.
The working title. Nerds.
I like it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.